From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, investigative reporter Linda Moulton Howe joins us, followed by Conversations with Linda. And what a program we have in store for you tonight. A Mexican national has been arrested by U.S. Customs and Border Protection agents with enough fentanyl to kill 57 million Americans, according to an internal memo. The fentanyl seizure was a record amount. The deadly synthetic opioid can kill just with a few minute pieces. California's Pharmacy Board is investigating whether three Bay Area Walgreens stores allowed an employee without a pharmacist's license to verify or dispense hundreds of thousands of prescriptions over several years. They're watching them. Health officials in Georgia, Hawaii, Oregon have now reported that there have been at least one, if not multiple, confirmed cases of measles in their states. This comes amid an outbreak in Clark County, Washington, where there have been 38 confirmed cases of measles and 13 suspected cases. Dr. Gary Ridenour with us. Gary, this doesn't seem like a lot of cases, but why do they seem concerned?
Well, they should be concerned because Washington State, only 75% of the people in that state are vaccinated. And the herd theory says that you got to have up about 92% of the people vaccinated to prevent the measles from spreading out in the area. And we're looking at this number, but it's a highly infectious disease. It's one of the largest killers of children in the world. In 2016, there were 7 million cases in the planet. Jeez. Europe in 2018 had 41,000 cases. And your chances of dying are 1 in 1,000. The possibility of complication from the vaccine is 1 in 1 million.
Is it coming back, the measles, right now? Is it strong?
It's roaring back. It's a 30% jump in the last couple of years. We have a lot of people unvaccinated that are coming into Europe from other countries where there's no vaccines at all. Israel has a very high rate of unvaccinated people. Interestingly enough, in the Jewish communities in New York State, they have a high unvaccinated rate in their communities. It's religious and it's a philosophical reason. And in 1998, a British doctor wrote a paper that MMR caused autism.
Yes.
And it took off like wildfire. And then later they found out that he only looked at 12 kids. Since that was the largest medical fraud in 100 years, and they've looked at tens of millions of children vaccinated and can't find autism with them. But the problem is unvaccinated travelers go to Israel and Europe, pick up the measles, bring it home, and start to spreading. So it's starting to be a real ongoing disease. Study in 2014, for example, looked at 1.2 million kids that were vaccinated and no autism. Japan had to make a law to force everybody to be vaccinated. It's a brutal author that wrote this original fraud paper. His license was taken and he was discredited. The problem is now is the ongoing reports of the original fraud in 1998 with disinformation and confusion and religious dogma haunting us from stopping the measles outbreaks.
We'll be talking about autism next week on one of our Coast to Coast segments. Gary, thank you. John of God, the self-proclaimed Brazilian spiritual healer who became internationally famous when Oprah Winfrey spotlighted his apparent psychic healing methods on her television network back in 2013, will face trial allegations of rape and sexual abuse, according to a judge. His days are numbered. At least 12 people dead from the Arctic polar vortex storm that hit the Midwest. Records have been shattered as the polar vortex unleashed the harshest cold in years on the Midwestern United States during the final days of January. Just way below zero temperatures. Dr. Tim Ball, climatologist with us. Looks like this weekend, Tim, things are going to get better.
Yeah, we're going to start to see some changes. And of course, this the word polar vortex, by the way, is not a scientific term. That's a term that John Holdren, who was Obama's science czar, dreamed up in the White House a couple of years ago, and it creates the idea that this is something new. But yeah, the cold air pushing well south and the warm air pushing well north. You can see it in Britain as well, another outbreak. They recorded minus 14. The interesting part about this is that you're getting the very cold air, but you're also getting snow with it. Normally you get cold and no snow and warmer with snow. And you look at a place in Minnesota, for example, where they had minus 30 and quite heavy snowfalls. The reason for that, of course, is that the warm air that's being transported north is running up over the cold air at the ground, and that's snow is coming from that overrunning warm air. But you'll see this shift now, and in fact what you'll see is Chicago will jump quite dramatically in temperatures over the next few days. It will, as it moves east, of course the east coast will get colder, but also the west coast will get colder as the cold air pushes down in there, as these waves transport and move from west to east, as they always have done.
Well, it's about time. Thanks a lot, Tim. Well, how's your life? Is it time for change, or do you think things are going perfectly? In a moment, Coach Bob back with us on Coast to Coast as he coaches us a little bit about our lifestyle on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Coach Bob back with us. He has been down the road of life changes for his entire lifetime. He was a business owner in the financial services industry for 20 years. He then morphed into a self-taught scientist, philosopher, and life coach for the past 25 years. Coach Bob continues to develop his process of behavioral change so he and others can manage life effectively. Understanding the science and coaching others and implementing the process, they are his passions that drive his commitment to making this a better world. His website is called realchangecoach.com, linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. And I thought it'd be a good time right now to bring the coach in to talk with us because, Bob, first of all, welcome back to the program. It's good to have you.
Thank you, George, and thank you for having me.
I am picking up that people are so uptight lately. And they're concerned about everything. They're being bombarded by the media, this presidential situation and the investigations and everything. I think people are on the verge of nervous breakdowns, Bob. Do you feel this?
No question, George. Things are, I think, more strange now than in my lifetime. And I think since we don't really know where it's headed, the uncertainty is probably, you know, causing a lot of it too. And, you know, most people when they come and I coach them, you know, they're generally dealing with specific issues. And it could be they're going on an interview for a new job, or they're running out of money,
mm-hmm.
or their children are having troubles and they don't know what to do. And so there's all these specifics. But I think what would be good to share with your listeners is that there's a common fundamental that underlies all the problems that we have. And that is when we have a problem, we generally get filled with either anger and or fear.
Right.
We're either afraid of what's happening to us or we're angry about it.
Or sometimes both.
And sometimes both. And so the question is, and this is the first question I ask people when I coach them, do you really think you're better off sending your anger and fear into this situation? Or are you better off being in control?
Well, obviously, being in control is the best way to go, but how many people actually do that when they're faced with that situation?
And most people don't. The thing, though, is that they can learn to do it. And in kind of a nutshell, here's what's going on. Is our ancestors lived in a very, very dangerous place. It was basically eat or be eaten.
That's right.
You didn't have a chance to Google. You had to know instantly, is what's coming at me dinner or am I dinner? And that's how we develop this very strong emotional system we have. And so the first thing we do when we feel pressure is we either fight or flee. We either approach or avoid. And that initial response, we cannot stop, because that's who we are. When you're walking into that interview, you're afraid. If you're not afraid, you're not human. A youngster going into taking his SAT test for college, he's going to be nervous. He's going to be fearful. It's only natural. And so what I try to help people with, George, and this is why if people go to the site, they'll see I'm putting on 3 free 1-hour workshops next week, to just to try to share with people how they can be in control.
And you have, too, what you're doing now, too, I think since the last time we talked, which was about 7 years ago, you were doing a lot of corporate work, and you still are, but you're also now doing a lot of work for individuals who have some issues, aren't you?
That's correct. In fact, this whole new program that I'm launching is trying to share with as many people as I can, you know, the way to be in control when it matters. Because all our anger and fear is going to do is make the problems worse.
Coach, do you see this with road rage too?
Road rage is probably one of the most common that we've probably all felt. I don't think there's not a person listening that hasn't gotten awfully angry at something has happened, you know, when they're in the car. And the reason that is we call it the mix. And so think about it. When you're in a tight situation under any kind of pressure, let's say somebody pulls out in front of you. Let's use road rage. They pull right out in front of you. There's only two things that you have that are going to tell you what to do. All the information we have comes from one of two places, and that's either the genetics that were passed on to us by our biological parents, or the memories and experiences we have from this lifetime. Those are the two forms of information we have to make decisions.
Now, you tell me if my definition of road rage is correct. I think road rage is caused by a bad or inconsiderate driver who does something to someone who's having a lousy moment. Is that possible?
I think that context is very, very likely. And there's a number of other contexts, right? A guy could be driving down the road, and he's going to the hospital because his wife just had a heart attack. And so he's not even thinking.
Right. And you can't blame him.
No. Right. And the biggest question is if you're driving, and all of a sudden you're angry, is that going to give you a better chance to not get in an accident, or is that going to increase your odds?
I remember, Bob, a couple of years ago, after the show, Tom Danheiser had a situation, and I had to take him fast to the hospital. And it was right after the show. And I am going through red lights, and thank God there was no traffic. I'm going through red lights and everything, and all of a sudden there's flashing a police light behind me. And I'm saying, I can't stop. I got to get this guy to the emergency room. He's in pain. And I roll down my window. He's got his spotlight on me, and he's saying, you know, with his speaker, pull over, pull over. And I said, sir, it's so and I told him who I was. And he went, I just got done listening to you. I said, my producer's got a problem. He said, follow me. So he is racing through red lights with his siren on, and I'm right behind him. And he is like paving the path to get to the hospital, and I got Tommy there, and he's okay, and everything worked out. But you're right, because during these episodes of extreme, gosh, I don't know what to say it is, but people react in different ways.
Right, and the ability that humans have, in fact, it probably separates us from all other species, and probably why we control the planet, is that we have the ability. Most people refer to it as self-awareness, but we have the ability to catch ourselves when we're not in control, when we're angry and fearful, and we can say, wait a minute, this isn't the best thing for me, and we can calm ourselves down. kind of like you did with the police officer when he pulls up and he shows that. I'm sure you were pretty calm when you explained the situation to him, right?
Absolutely.
I figured you were in control.
I got a good police officer. Most of them are, but I got a good one, and he understood it. He knew the show, which I think made things even easier for us. I don't know what would have happened had I had an officer who was having a bad day, who would have just said, pull over, I don't care who the heck you are. I was going to have to tell him, call 911, please, because this guy's he's in pain.
Right, or if you weren't in control, you may not even have made it. You may have gotten into an accident.
That's true. That's true.
And so, being in control is what we've got to learn, and we've got the ability to do it.
Why is it that some people are in control, Bob, and others lose it?
Well, that's a tough question because the jury's kind of out because our brains are so complicated, George. To try to figure out why we do what we do is almost like fool's gold. So what we do know about it is that some people have the ability to watch what they're doing while they're doing it. The way a great NBA coach told me once, what separates the superstars from all the other players is that they see the game in slow motion.
I was just going to say that. I'm from Detroit, like you are.
Right.
And, I used to read stories about Gordie Howe, the great hockey player, or the great baseball players, Mickey Mantle.
Right.
All of them, Bob. All of them said they had the ability to slow the puck down or the baseball that was pitched at them in slow motion. All of them said that.
Yeah, Ted Williams, all of them. And so that's basically what gives you the ability to be in control, is you have to learn how to make those tough situations slow down. And the way you get it to slow down, and it might seem funny, is if in your mind you believe that you're better off in control than angry or fearful, you have to believe that. If you believe that, then when you're in those situations, your brain will remind you, hey, we're not where we want to be right now. And like any habit, it's something that you have to practice on a daily basis. And that's why when I do my coaching and my programs, they're 30 days long, because you practice that for 30 straight days of just being able to see how you're feeling when you're in tight spots. And you're always better off when you calm down. And so your brain starts remembering, mm-hmm. Hey, it's much better when I calm down. And after you do that over a certain period of time, it becomes a habit.
I bet you've seen some dramatic results after 30 days, haven't you?
Oh, I mean, that's all it takes. But the person has to do it for 30 days. It's the same like with New Year's resolutions. The reason they don't get out of January is because people don't do them every day.
They have to do it. So the mindset has to be there, doesn't it?
Yep. It's definitely all up happening up in your brain. And all of our brains are plenty powerful because, I mean, we've got 100 billion neurons up in our head, George.
Firing away all the time.
And they're connected. We've got 100 trillion passageways up there.
Jeez.
I mean, we are by far the most sophisticated thing in the whole solar system. So we've all got all we need. It's being able to train ourselves that when we start feeling ourselves getting worked up, that bell goes off in our head because we've practiced that says, hey, it's not in my best interest to be like this. I'm going to slow down, take a deep breath, because that's what's going to make me the best I can be.
What makes one person good and the other person bad, Bob?
Say that again?
What makes one person good and the other person bad?
Well, again, that's a tough one too, George.
I'm throwing tough curveballs at you, Coach.
You know, you're throwing a tough one because everybody can't help but be who they are.
Oh, they're raised that way, though.
In the moment you're in, you have to be who you are. You cannot not be who you are. We all are who we are. And why are we who we are? because of the genetics we have and because of the life we've lived.
Hold on for a second, Coach. We're going to hit a break, but we're going to come back. Coach Bob with us. His website, realchangecoach.com, is linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. Let's come back and take some questions and your stories for Coach Bob or your questions for Coach Bob when we come back. And then next hour, our investigative reporter, Linda Moulton-Howe, joins us here on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, investigative reporter Linda Moulton-Howe joins us with some incredible stories. And then at our final hour of the program tonight, conversations with Linda. But when we come back in a moment with Coach Bob, we're going to take your questions for him and maybe your stories, road rage episodes, things like that. While Everett, Washington, that is our next live stage show coming up now, March 23rd. Clicking away, get your tickets to see this great program at the historic Everett Theater by going to events at coasttocoastam.com or in the carousel reel, or you can call this number at the Everett Theater, 425-258-6766, 425-258-6766. Great guests, meet and greet, music, super band, the works at Everett, Washington. And then, of course, May 11th, Columbus, Ohio.
Bring it on down to Columbus, Ohio on Saturday, May 11th. There we are. This is Radio to Stage, so you join the grand experience. It'll be three separate interviews. We'll start out with Ghost Whisperer Marianne Winkowski. Then we'll have crowd favorite certified hypnotist Rosemary Ellen Guiley. And your favorite, probably George, or one of your favorites, the father of ufology, Stanton Friedman.
Great guy.
That's going to be a good one. I will do a special Mother's Day tribute because the next day is Mother's Day. Live band, audience participation. We're setting up some microphones so people can talk to the guests. Going to be a fun time. Handicap seats are still available. I've been looking and checking and tracking that. So if you are interested in tickets, you can go to Ticketmaster.com or you can go to the Coast to Coast AM website and all the information is right there.
There is no bad ticket at the Lincoln Theater in Columbus at all. There's no bad tickets at all. And again, the phone number to call for the ticket center, if you don't have a website and want to go to our link, 614-469-0939. And welcome back to Coast. We're with Coach Bob. His website, realchangecoach.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. We'll get to your calls in just a second as well. How often, Bob, do emotions take over people's decision-making?
I would say the vast majority of times, because when pressure's on, normal, easy decisions, they don't come into play too much. But when you're talking about anything that's important to you, you're going to feel the pressure. That's what makes it important, right?
That's right.
And so that's where the fear starts coming in. You're wondering, hey, am I going to be able to deliver? Or if some random event gets in your way, like a flat tire, you get angry. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, emotions really, really come into play when it's important. And that's why it's important to notice you're getting emotional and being able to take that little pause and step back and be in control.
Do you talk about different techniques like slow breathing and things like that? Or what's your big approach?
Okay. The big approach is life's goal is to survive. So if you can put the thought in your head, I'm better off when I'm in control than I am when I'm angry or fearful, your brain will know that that's a survival mechanism. And if you take the time to make sure you get that thought in your head, that's your go-to. So that every time something's important and you're getting worked up, your brain says to you, hey, the best we can be is to be in control, so let's settle down here before we go further. That's the best go-to I could tell somebody.
All right, let's go to some of the phones. Let's go west of the Rockies. Roberta's with us in Tucson, Arizona. Hi, Roberta.
Hi, George. And hi to your guest.
You're on with Coach Bob.
Hi, Roberta.
Hi, Coach Bob. How do you calm the other person down in a situation?
Great question. Somebody's in your face. It could be you're at work and you're in an argument. You're in an argument with a family member. The first thing for you to notice is it's not about what they're saying. What they're trying to do is they're trying to share with you how they feel. They want you to recognize their feelings. So if you say, hey, you're mad and you're feeling you're being taken advantage of, that then starts calming them and calming them down. If what you do is try to defend your position and tell them they're wrong, you're just throwing gasoline on the fire.
Yeah, you'll never get anything done that way, will you?
So the first thing to do is to see that, have some empathy for them and acknowledge that you see that they're angry.
What if,
is there anything you can do? That's the first step when you're in that situation.
What if they're just trying to edge you on, Coach? They're just trying to push you to the edge.
Well, if they're just trying to push you to the edge, then you've got a totally different situation. And that has to do with, what kind of environment do I want to be in to make me the best I can be? And the best environment isn't being around people that are doing that to you, George.
Good point.
Turn around and walk out.
You don't need them, do you?
You don't need that, right.
Next up, let's go to Jeremy in Jamestown, North Dakota. Welcome to the program. Hi, Jeremy. Good to have you with us.
How are you doing?
Great. You're on with the coach.
Hi, Jeremy.
Hello. I've lived with a traumatic brain injury for over 15 years, and I'm wondering, how do I convince other people I can control my life?
Interesting. Had a brain injury for 15 years, Coach.
What about your brain injury do you feel is holding you back right now?
What I feel is that I am way past the years that the doctors gave me that I would live when I was I'm 11 years past their expiration date they gave me when I was in a coma. And they just think that I can't make competent decisions to run my life. And I even have the court system against me because.
Well, the first thing I want to say is I want to feel for the challenges that you've had to live with. And the one thing I can tell you is that you should be very proud of yourself, because you're climbing over something that most of us can't even begin to think. And so going forward, the best that you have is not to get angry that it happened to you, not to be fearful about what's going to happen next, because those two positions aren't going to make your life better. What's going to make your life better is if you just say, hey, this is what I'm going through, and I'm going to go through it in a calm state of mind and deal with it the best I can.
You know, you really have to applaud people, Coach, like Jeremy, who have afflictions and keep fighting back.
Unbelievable. I'm so proud of them to even hear a story.
Tell us about the website and what people should look for when they go to it, and I'm sure we're going to slam it like crazy. RealCoachChange.com.
Yeah. Well, when you go, you can either hear a little bit about me, or you can go to our free workshop page. And I encourage everybody to sign up. I'm going to put on three. They're all the same, but at three different times next week, where they can hear in detail what we're kind of talking about tonight, George. And by going through those free workshops, they'll be able to use the techniques. And then if they want more, and if they want to make it a habit and do it for 30 days, they can sign up for my 30-day program, and they can be a part of that.
Super.
So it's pretty easy to navigate once they get there.
And what do companies want? When companies use your services, what are they trying to accomplish?
Well, they want productivity out of their employees.
Ah, and salesmanship.
And so you know all the backstabbing and all the crazy stuff that can go on in a work environment.
Yep.
Well, if you can get that out of there, and so when problems happen, which they do on every job, when people are in control instead of getting freaked out, the workforce is so much more productive. And so that, in a general sense, is what I help them with.
Good for you. Let's go to John in the island of Oahu in Hawaii. Welcome to the show. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure.
I just wanted to say thank you for another great show. And I wanted to call and tell in front of the millions of your listeners for Coach Bob. George, you had him on over a decade ago. In the beginning of 2009, it was the height of the financial crisis. My life was in absolute turmoil. And you had Coach Bob on, and you said, we've got somebody coming on who really, really wants to help people. And I listened. I reached out to Coach Bob after the show, and he made such a tremendous difference in my life. He didn't ask me for a penny. Coach Bob, I just wanted to say, I'm sorry. Thank you. I know you've been through a lot in life as well, too, lately. I just wanted to really say thank you in front of the millions of listeners. You made such a positive difference in my life at one of the darkest points. You didn't ask me for anything.
Hey,
thank you. And George,
hey John, this is Coach Bob. Maybe you could do me a favor. I'm in Detroit. Can you send me some of that warm Hawaii weather up this way?
Yes, sir, I will do.
He'll do that. Thank you, John. Appreciate that. Well done, Bob. Well done. I mean, our listeners are the most passionate listeners, I think, in the world. And
I tell you, George, every time I'm on the show, I get so much, you know, comments and questions and things from your people, and they're just wonderful.
When are you writing a book?
Well, I wrote a book, this is maybe about 12 years ago now, and I've had people leaning on me to write a new one because
you
a lot
should.
Happened in 12 years. We know so much more because of science and technology. So someday when I slow down a little bit, maybe I'll take the time to write another good one for you.
So how do people release that pressure cooker of life, which everybody is sensing right now? I mean, you can't go anywhere without people being upset about something. I don't want to get into politics, but people are upset about that. You know, in the old days, people could at least negotiate with you about something, about an issue. I like it, I don't. Why not? Now, it's argument, bitterness. That's got to stop, Bob.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's going to stop. I'm an optimist, and that's why I do what I do, George, because I want to stop it. But the only way we can stop it, and I don't mean to sound like a broken record, is when we finally see that if we're going to use, and politics is the great example, all you got to do is look at how much anger people are throwing into politics. Look at how much fear people are throwing into politics. And people actually think that they're yelling and screaming and their fear is going to make America a better place. Well, it's not. It's going to destroy us. And so if we really want to get our act together, we've got to get in control. And we've got to be able to sit down and say, hey, there's more than two sides. There's maybe 10 sides to an issue. And we have to work together and respect each other so that we can move forward. And it is. It's a dangerous time because of
really
all the anger and fear out there.
It really is. Let's go to Lexington, Kentucky. Gorgeous place. Derek's with us. Derek, the Red Mile still out there?
Hey, George, Bob.
Yep.
I love that place. Used to go out there a lot years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? I know you're from Detroit, so you've been down to Lexington quite often?
I sure had. Used to have some standardbred racehorses. Just loved it out there.
Okay. Well, listen, I'm so grateful to be on the show. I called for a different reason. Coach Bob?
Yes.
I find when I'm driving on the road or this or that or whatever, I don't get angry.
Good for you.
I'm wondering, maybe, should I be?
Well, here's a reversal now, Bob.
Well,
should he get angry?
Here is my guess as to why you don't. Do you get angry in other areas of your life?
Not really. I just
collected.
I'm kind of slow mo, and I'm thinking because I hear all these shows and people that are like angry about something. Should I be angry?
No. I mean, what you are is you're blessed, and why you're blessed is the genetics that were passed down to you from your biological parents. And the life you've lived has not been a super destructive life. And so you're kind of blessed with great genes and great experiences.
I mean,
so be thankful. Be thankful.
I was going to say, you really need to be thankful that you can't get angry. I mean, that's a gift, isn't it, Bob?
It's a total gift, because the only time anger helps you and the only time fear helps you is when you're literally in a fight for your survival.
Right, that reptilian side of the brain.
You want your adrenaline pumping if somebody's trying to kill you. And you want to be able to run awful fast if somebody wants to harm you and you know you couldn't beat them. So anger and fear are good, but only if it's like the environment our ancestors were in. But in today's day and age, your anger is not helping you at all.
Let's go to Fred, truck driving in California. Squeeze you in real fast, Freddie. Go ahead.
All righty. Well, my point is sometimes in times of stress, you're caught up in, like, two other people are fighting. You're right in the middle of it. And the next thing you know, you get what I call it's the freeze. And so it's in between fight or flight. You're just freeze. So I wanted to see where that comes from.
What do you do when you're in the middle of something like that, Bob?
Well, if you're in the middle of something and you're freezing, all right, freezing is fear, not anger. So the first thing your brain has to tell you, and you've got to be trained for this, is when you're freezing, you immediately say, I'm fearing. This is not in my best interest. And then whatever technique you use, the technique I would use in that situation, I've been in those situations, is I know that I want to bring my calm energy to this problem. I don't want to throw more gas on it. And so the first step is to calm down, and then you just have to be talented enough to go with the punches, so to speak.
Absolutely. Bob, we're almost out of time. Give out your website again for folks.
Yeah, it's realchangecoach.com.
Realchangecoach.com. We've got it linked up at coasttocoastam.com as well. We sent out a tweet earlier to those of you who follow us on Twitter.
And if they want more of this stuff, sign up for one of the free workshops. They'll love it.
You got it. Bob, thanks. Take care of yourself. Let's hope we all get through this rough little roller coaster we call life, okay?
You bet, George. Thanks for having me on, and goodbye to all your listeners and you guys. Best wishes here.
Coach Bob, and he's the real deal, by the way, and his website, again, is called realchangecoach.com, realchangecoach.com. Up next in a minute, investigative reporter Linda Moulton Howe joins us. She's got some amazing stories, so don't touch your dial. We'll be right back.